So tonight we're going to look at the second principle. I actually call it the activating principle of abundance. And it is a principle that stimulates and increases the flow of good, yet we don't trust it. We resist it. We don't like it. And it scares us. And here is the law of abundance and how Jesus put it. He said, "Give and you shall receive." In Luke, he said, "Give and it will be given to you." And that is the law of giving and receiving. That is the law of circulation. That is the law of increase. And again, here's the law. Give and you shall receive. Give and it will be given to you. Notice it doesn't say give and you might receive. Give and there's a 50-50 chance you might. Give and it most likely. Give and maybe. Given perhaps, it doesn't say that. It actually says give and you will. Give and you shall. And the thing about it is giving actually activates the cycle of energy moving. Giving actually activates it. And to emphasize the power of giving, notice that Jesus doesn't say, hold on to your stuff, be really careful, keep it all for yourself as best as you can. Don't, you know, make sure you don't lose it and just keep it and look out for number one. Jesus didn't say that at all. Not only is he speaking in favor of the importance and value of giving, he's actually in a way speaking against and warning against about not withholding. And I'll give you another scripture in that. But let me give you a parable. Remember the parable of the talents? So this master, he goes away and he gives one of his three servants 5 talents, gives the other one 3, gives the other one 1. And he tells him to go and use it. And so when he gets back from his trip, he checks in with the 3 of them. And the first one says, hey, master, you gave me 5. I turned it into 10. And he said, well done, my good and faithful servant. You have done well with what I've given you. And now you will share in even more of your master's joy. Second one says, he said, well, good. He said, you gave me 3. I turned it into 6. And the master says, well done, my good and faithful servant. You have done well with what I've given you. Now you can share in even more of your master's joy. The third one said, how do you do? He said, well, you know, master, I know you kind of get mad, and if I messed up, you know, you'd really, really, really be ticked off. So I took the one and I hid it. And so here's your 1 back. And the master said, you wicked, ungrateful servant. And he takes it from him and he throws him in jail. And it ends, the parable ends with these words. To he who has, more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But to he who has not, even that which he has will be taken away. When I read that as a kid, I thought, what? What? To he who has gets more? And to he who hasn't will have it taken away? That sounds like the rich get richer and the poor get poorer. I thought, that doesn't sound right. Until you'll go a little deeper. And what it's saying is to he who has. And it's talking about consciousness. When you have a consciousness of abundance and gratitude, where you use and invest and enjoy and share what you have, when you have that kind of mindset and consciousness, you will be given more. That you will attract more, just like the first two. But to he who has not, that when there's a consciousness of lack and fear, and that I'll lose it all, and I better hold on tight to it, even that which they have will be taken away. Think about it this way. If there's a faucet with water flowing, that to he who has, it'd be like the cup allowing it to be filled. To he who has an open mind to receive, they will receive. To he who has not, turn the cup upside down. To he who has not, even that which they have, you turn the cup upside down, you'll lose, and you will block the very flow of even greater things. Does this make sense, everyone? And that is what he's talking about. It is about your consciousness. No matter how much you have, if you have a consciousness of lack, you will begin to lose it and block the flow of more coming. And no matter how little you have, if you have a consciousness of abundance, of being grateful, of sharing, and giving, that you will attract even more. Life is consciousness. And his giving is about increasing the flow and the movement and the cycle of that abundance that is all around us. You know, giving and receiving is about the law of circulation. when you think about it, circulation, we need to give and receive. We need to give and receive. Air, oxygen, in and out, in and out. Your pool. I mean, there's got to be blood. There's got to be circulation. Circulation is necessary to be alive. And same with any kind and form of abundance. Withholding love, withholding kindness, you know, withholding generosity, withholding abundance, withholding ourselves, our attention, our time, our talent, will do nothing but block and limit and stagnate and restrict and shrink the amount of good in our lives. But when we are giving and when we're sharing, we begin to expand and increase that flow in every area. You know, and to me, giving, and we'll talk a little bit about it more. You know, we always think it's about money and it's about being in service, and those two are important. But it's about giving your love, giving someone your undivided attention, giving your encouragement, giving your respect, you know, giving your appreciation. All forms of giving actually create more good for everyone. And so sometimes we just limit, I mean, just like we limit prosperity to money, sometimes we think giving is always, no, it is a universal principle that when you withhold love and kindness, you know, it hurts us. It hurts relationships. It is about circulation. It is about giving and keeping that flow moving. If we want our lives to get better, we tend to think, what can I get? I want to get more money, get more friends, get more property, get more this, get more that. And the fact is, we will always struggle when we focus on getting. But things always change when we focus and improve when we focus on giving. Giving our best in a relationship, giving our best in a job, giving. You know, when you express life, express kindness, express it and share it, just like those servants, however form they invested and shared it, it increased. Here's my favorite line about this. It's in Proverbs 11:24, and it says this: one person gives freely, yet gains even more. Another withholds unduly, but only comes to poverty. One person gives freely and gets even more. The other one withholds unduly and only comes to poverty. That same message over and over and over. It is a law. It works. And for me, giving is really a consciousness. It is an action, yes, but it is a consciousness and an energy of how we relate to life, how we relate to our others, how we even relate to ourselves. That if we're stuck in anywhere of our lives, we need to ask, what am I holding on to? What am I withholding? What am I not giving? What am I afraid to give? What is it that I'm clinging to? Because those areas are the things that tend to keep us more blocked. You know, giving is about just getting yourself in the flow, just getting things moving in your life, freeing yourself up. You know, we tend to stay rigid and tense, and giving really kind of keeps us moving, keeps things flowing in great ways. You know, studies show that people who give tend to be healthier, and they tend to have more social connections. They tend to feel greater levels of fulfillment. It's just a beautiful and amazing thing. Give and you will receive. And the opposite would be, don't give and you will not receive. Or withhold, and even that which you have will be taken away. And so the question for, are you committed to living a more prosperous life? Do you want to experience a more a greater abundance consciousness? It would be the same as saying, do you want to become a more conscious giver? You know, are you willing to be a committed giver? Here's what it says in 2 Corinthians. Whosoever sows sparingly shall reap sparingly. Whosoever sows generously shall reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided to give in your heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. I love that. God loves a cheerful giver. And what it's saying is that anything we give, whether it's love or kindness, don't do it reluctantly or resistantly. Do it joyously. that giving in a spirit of joy, giving a spirit of thankfulness, giving in a spirit of faith, giving a spirit of kindness and generosity makes all the difference in the world. Anybody ever have a waiter or a server serve you reluctantly and not with a good attitude? Anybody ever have that? And how much fun was that? And the thing is, it was the same food. It's the same. They brought the food, but it's the energy with which you give them it. And anybody have somebody who was in service staff and they were just kind and their attitude was fabulous? Changes the whole difference. The entire difference is changed by the attitude with which we give. The attitude with which we interact. That when it's joyous, when it's thankful, you know, when it's appreciative, I mean, when there's that positive energy, everything we do, the energy is magnified. It is magnetized to attract even more good. And so the question is, how do we develop a consciousness to become a more cheerful and joyful and grateful giver? And so I think the first thing I always think of anything when you want is, what is your intention? I am a cheerful giver. Together, I am a cheerful giver. I give in love because I love to give. Together, I give in love because I love to give. I am a channel for the flow of God's abundance. Together, I am a channel for the flow of God's abundance. I am a cheerful giver. Together, I am a cheerful giver. So do you have an intention to be a cheerful giver? Cheerfully giving, cheerfully sharing, you know, cheerfully investing your spirit in all that you do. Here's a question for you. How much are you giving as much to life as you can give? Are you giving as much of yourself in your relationship as you can give? Are you giving as much of yourself in the work that you do? Are you giving as much of yourself to yourself? Are you giving all and as much of yourself to each moment? Are you giving all you can give of yourself just to your life and who you are and what you came here to do and who you came here to be? And I would bet that sometimes we hold back, that sometimes we withhold. And that's what that whole idea about being a cheerful giver is: invest yourself in all the things, the simple things that you do. And so what I'd like you to do now is to write down in your book, what can you do to be a more cheerful giver at work, in your family, in your relationship, in your life? And it could be even being more friendly and saying hi to everybody. Maybe it's opening a door. Maybe it's letting someone in traffic. Maybe it's buying someone a coffee. Maybe it's giving someone a compliment. Maybe it's asking someone, hey, how are you doing today? Maybe it's to give them a gift. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's a pat on the back. Maybe it's an encouraging word. Sometimes we think it's got to be all these big things. It's the little things done with great love and a good attitude and a cheerful spirit that actually make a huge and bigger difference than we realize. So let's take a few minutes and do that now. Okay. Continue writing if you need to continue writing. And so I just want to share, I had a couple that I was working with a number of years ago, and they were really, really in a stuck place. The husband had a lot of health issues. They were on a fixed income. They felt lonely and isolated. They were struggling financially. It was just really tough all the way, socially, financially. They were living far away from their family that lived in Western New York. And it was just a real struggle. And they were feeling really, really unhappy. And they came in and they asked, you know, what they could do. What kind of guidance could I give? I said, well, I tend to give the 3G formula for how to get your life moving. I said, the first thing is, I hear a lot of things aren't working, and I get it, and I have compassion for you. But I'd like you to write down 5 things that you would like, what goals that you'd like to see happen in your life. What are the things you'd like to create? And I said, the second one is, the next G is, what are you grateful for? So what is working? What does feel good? What makes you happy? What's exciting? What's, you know, what is good about your life? So goals, gratitude. And I said, the third one is giving. I said, go help somebody. Leave your house and go help somebody. And I don't care where you help somebody, but go help. And I want you to do that a couple times a week. I want you to go find, and they weren't working, so they had time, so I encouraged them to do as much of that. And I said, then come back in a month and see me. Do all three of these things. Get goals, clear what you want to create in your life. Be grateful, write down the things you really, and then the third is go help somebody. Be in service, help, make someone's life better. And I'll tell you, they came back a month later, and they had met new people through helping others. They were feeling happier, healthier, clearer. And then out of the blue, some family members from Western New York called them and said, hey, we want to pay for you guys to fly you guys back, and we've got a place here for you to stay. And they ended up a few months later moving back to Western New York, and their lives were changed. And I believe their lives were changed by them moving that energy that was stuck. They were isolated. They were unhappy. They were feeling things weren't going to go well. By first seeing a vision of something better, feeling appreciative for what was going on, and then getting that energy. Because one thing about giving is it gets you beyond yourself. Because you have to extend kindness or care or generosity or support for someone else. And that gets energy moving in us. It really just creates a flow. It just does, because it's a law. And it is amazing how simply their lives changed within a few months because they did three simple practices. And I believe that giving was a huge and important part of it. And so as a part of this class and its commitment is to be in service to others. Use your energy, your talent, and your creativity to make someone else's life better, even if it's scooping some poop in your neighborhood. I mean, that is the most creative. I'm going to use that as an example for years to come. I got to tell you, man, it's so good. That is service. And so for me and mine, in the past, I've done baby cuddling at Homeward Bound, and I do a mentoring of ministers by phone across the country. This one, last Thursday I started, I am an usher at Phoenix Theater. And what was really fun and neat about it, it was nice to meet all the people, my fellow ushers, and just being there. And I've been a patron there a lot. I've attended a lot of theater. I love theater. And Rusty, our own Rusty, is actually starring in this play. But it was cool to be there in the capacity of serving. It was a whole different experience of theater when you're one of the ones that is serving and greeting and had a great time. The only thing that was a little different was somebody from the church saw me and, oh, Reverend Mirage, what are you doing? Do you work here on the side? No, I don't. I thought that was kind of funny. But anyway, it was a cool and fabulous experience. And so my question for you is, where are you serving and where can you get yourself to serve? Because it really, really makes a cool difference. Now, we've got things. I just love pushing ushers and greeters because you're already here on Sunday. So I've got a clipboard. Put one on each side. And if you feel like signing up, sign up for it. But however you do it, find a way to help somebody and make a difference. And Scott, I got to tell you, that is so creative. And look for creative ways if by chance you haven't found something that really connects with you. Because it's important. It's about getting that energy moving. That couple's lives changed by simply stepping out of themselves and helping others. They made connections that felt better about themselves. And I believe it opened that space for that great gift that their family members gave them and thought about them and made a huge difference for them. And we can change our lives through that service as well. And so that's one of them. So being a giver, give of yourself, give your talent, your energy, your joy, formally or informally. Whenever you're giving, you're doing a great thing for yourself and for others. You know, Albert Schweitzer once said, I don't know what your destiny will be, but one thing I do know, the only ones among us that will truly find happiness are those who have discovered and found how to really serve. Because there's a level, like, you ever help somebody? There is a joy and a fulfillment that comes in helping someone because you just want to help them that no other accomplishment can do. There are work achievements or all kinds of personal achievements, but there is a feeling when you help someone that it just, there is a special and amazing feeling. You know what they say? Studies show that when you help somebody, their serotonin level, being a receiver of your good, goes up. And your serotonin levels go up as well. So when you give, not only do you bless and increase the good of others, you do it for yourself, but here's the other thing. If you watch somebody be nice to somebody else, the person observing a kind act of giving and support, it blesses them too. So one single act of kindness can change more lives than you realize. I love being at the airport, like flying and doing different things. And sometimes I just love watching, like a child and a father just picking up their child and just kissing and hugging, or somebody helping someone with a bag that, you know, off of the carousel. All those things. Oh, I just feel happy looking at people doing nice stuff. And it really makes a difference. Your acts of kindness do greater good and have more ripples of benefit and blessings than you realize. It uplifts you. It uplifts others. And it uplifts even people just around the area. Cool stuff. So be in service. So the next one, is tithing. That big one. You know, that one, that is just one of the many forms of giving. The only difference with tithing, it scares the heck out of us. And why does it scare us and take us out of our comfort zone? Because in our culture, money is the thing so closely connected to our survival. It freaks us out. You know, money pays rent, money gets us clothes, it gets all our stuff, and I don't have enough money, I'm struggling with my money, and you're telling me to give some of my money? I want to get more, and you're telling me to give what I have? And so it really stretches us of this consciousness of giving and being a cheerful giver in the hardest area. That's why tithing is such a powerful and important thing, is because if we can get to giving that freely, man, we'll be giving everything freely and easily. You know what I find interesting? The two areas that human beings have the biggest problems in? Love and relationships and money. The two areas that human beings struggle giving freely the most, love and money. Think there's a coincidence? The areas that we hold on to and have the hardest time giving is the areas we tend to struggle the most with in our lives. So tithing is a spiritual practice that opens us up to increase our consciousness of giving. And giving is an act of faith, because you give, you know, there'll be more. It is an act of gratitude, you know, and it is an act of joy. It is an act of generosity. It is a powerful and amazing thing. How many people ever heard of William Colgate? Before leaving to seek his fortune, a friend of his said, "Take the Lord as your partner and tithe at 10% of everything you make, and you will never fail." So here's this guy going to the big city and got a job in a soap company. But every time he made a dollar, he put 10 cents to the Lord. And he literally did a ledger on this thing. For some reason, he just started succeeding and he started making so much money. Over time, he bought the soap company. And then over time, he not only succeeded with the soap company, but he started having more and more success and was able to buy more and more business. But every penny, dollar, 10 cents to the Lord. He started making so much money, he decided to go to 20% to the Lord, 30% to the Lord, 50% to God, kept tithing and tithing. And he built, with all of his money, Colgate University, of course, and the American Bible Society. One of the things that I really like is that from Sir John Templeton of the Templeton Mutual Funds, there are a whole bunch of different people. And he used to actually be a part of Unity, Sir John Templeton. Is that some of these individuals that it's, people say, oh, of course, they were worth millions of dollars. Of course they could tithe. But these guys tithed when they were broke, when they were making a dollar. They put that principle in to the flow, and it worked for them. Hear the words in the book of Malachi. "Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse and see if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour down for you an overflowing blessing, that there shall not be enough room for you to receive." Interestingly, tithing back then, giving a tenth of what you make, used to be back then it was wheat. It was grain. They would give a tenth of their grain, bring the whole tithe, and I will pour down an overflowing blessing that you'll not be able to receive. So whether it was grain, which was, you know, currency, kind of, it doesn't matter. The law is the law, that more good comes to you. And so the thing about tithing is that, and that whole word, that the word bring the whole tithe wasn't just the whole 10%. It's bring it with your whole heart. Bring it with your whole spirit. You know, bring it freely and joyously. Do this thing like the guys with the five and the three. Invest yourself and invest yourself in giving it wholeheartedly, and good things will happen. Donna Sheffy, who was a part of our one of our previous classes, is going to come and share a little bit about her tithe experience. I'm going to share about mine as she comes up. And I grew up in a family where my mom taught us to tithe. You remember when you were a kid, parents give you like a quarter to put in the offering. So we got it all the way all the way from the time we were young. But when I became an adult, it was like, oh, now I got to come up with my own quarter for the play. I mean, it was more than that. But initially, I have to say, it was a little tough, even though I saw my mom do this and it was practice all the time. But what I found was, interestingly, I would give, and I think, well, I can't give. I don't have enough. I want to keep some. And then it was like, hey, I'm giving, and everything's okay. My life's actually pretty good. And I'd keep giving. It's like, hey, this thing's kind of getting better. And over the time, I started giving more joyously, more excitedly, to the point that some years I plan how much I want to give this year. Like, I'd like to give $100,000 in a year. Everybody always thinks of how much you want to earn this year. And then I heard someone say, why don't you plan on how much you want to give this year? I'm like, whoa, that's good. Because one thing I find is when you start giving, it actually starts working on you as you work it. And the thing is, we always get freaked out. I always say, you know, we shouldn't get freaked out about tithing 10%. I tip waitresses and waiters 20%. I'm thinking, if I'm tipping people who just brought my food to my table in a plate, why would I have a difficult time giving 10% to the source that made everything possible? I'm thinking it's a smoking deal. I get 100%, I get to keep 90%, and I give 10 more to circulate to make sure more good comes into my life. I'm thinking, this thing's pretty good. But it does scare us. And so if you're feeling a little anxiety, it's normal. I mean, it is normal. And the thing is, you just got to sit with it and say, okay, so what's up with me? What's going on in here? And just check in with it. Because immediately the thing is, any discomfort of any kind, shut down, done, out of here. But on a spiritual path, you need to say, okay, so what's going on? What is this trying to teach me? What is this trying to show me? In what ways am I supposed to learn and open myself from this? Because I guarantee you, all forms of fear, whether it's this or not, it's the same thing. Check in with yourself on what's going on when we hit fear or anxiety or want to shut down our hearts in a relationship or anything else. You've got to keep it open and say, what's going on? Spirit, what are you trying to teach me? What are you trying to show me? How are you trying to expand me to a greater experience of life? And so whether it's money or love or anything else, anytime you get that anxiety, don't close your heart. Just keep it open and see what Spirit is trying to teach you or expand you into a greater experience of life. Make sense, everybody? Okay. Even if it didn't make sense, that's all I got. So So this is the amazing Donna Sheffy. She took this class, and she's going to share about her personal experience with the practice of tithing. Thanks for being here.
Yeah, I took this class about a year and a half ago. And I remember sitting back there and I said, I don't get this thing about tithing. I just don't get it. I mean, you know, we always give in church, okay? And I figured, okay, you know, it's to pay salaries and to do the landscaping and, you know, whatever you guys need to do with your money. So I decided, okay, and I said to you, I says, okay, what about it? What, you know, I'd like to do it. I'll try it. He says, well, go ahead and give it a try. So I went home that night, and I opened up my journal. I started journaling. I said to myself, okay, I'm going to commit 100% to every single thing you said in this class, okay? And I journaled, and I said to God, I said, I'm giving you 6 months, okay? So I did. I swear to God. I said, I will commit 6 months. It was the end of September to the end of March. And I said, I'm giving you that amount of time to figure this out. Okay, so I will do my best. I went 100%. I did all the practices that you talked about. So I started journaling, I prayed, I meditated, you know, I did visualization. I mean, I did it all. And I gave. I mean, what I was giving in a year, I would give in a month. And it's not that I didn't have the money. You know, it wasn't about that. But, you know, I thought, tithing? What? But it made such a huge impact on my life. And all I could say is, if you only just commit to every single thing, 100%, and you tithe, and I didn't even tithe 2%, 3%. I went all the way. I said, okay, I'll just do this. Okay? And I said, God, you're my co-creator. You're not going to let me down. I know you want me to, you know, you want me to thrive. You want me to be successful. You know, you've got my back. Fine, go. And I've had so many blessings. I've had, you know, beautiful grandbabies, miracle of life, which I didn't think wasn't going to happen, that came through. Job opportunities. I mean, I got bonuses. I got a huge bonus. And I said, God, do I have to give 10% of this? I was like, dang it. Okay, I'll do it. So I made a commitment. I said, all right, fine. And so, yeah. But it's not about just money. You know what I mean? It's just like my love and my life got better. I don't know. It's just overall, my life is like great. Life is just like so great. I mean, I give. I mean, I've actually gone to the grocery store, and I told the cashier that, you know, I says, it's $20. I want to pay that lady, you know, put $20 towards that lady behind me, you know, for her groceries. And I said, don't tell her. Don't tell her who gave it, because it wasn't about that.
Right.
You know, it's just that it made me feel good.
Right.
You know, so, and I would just reap the benefits from it.
Right.
You know, you just have to listen and increase your consciousness,
right.
And my life has just been amazing.
Right.
Totally amazing.
Woo!
It's my tithing. Well,
thanks for doing that.
Yeah.
I appreciate it. Let's hear it for Donna, please. Woo! So that's one of the reasons I love teaching this class so much. Seeing when someone puts the principles, makes the commitment to practicing them as hard and as much as a scary and uncomfortable and as much of a stretch as it is, and then seeing someone just having a breakthrough, just lighten up and having their lives changed and be improved in expected and unexpected ways. So next one, next form of giving is, so think of something you think's missing in your life, and that whatever that is, give it. If you think friendship is missing, you're not getting enough of it, give friendship. You think you're not getting enough appreciation, give more appreciation. Give appreciation. If it's respect, give respect. If it's encouragement, give encouragement. Anything that you feel like is missing or you are not having enough in your life, give it, and I guarantee you it will begin to come back to you in amazing and wonderful ways. Next one is that give silent blessings to people throughout the day. That when you're walking around, bless people with peace, love, and abundance. Just an ambulance goes by, bless the ambulance professionals and then the person's home that they're going to. You know, bless all of the situations, as many as you can see and as many as you're a part of and anywhere you're around. Send out silent blessings. Send out blessings of appreciation. Send out positive thoughts, because it is a powerful way to make a difference. You are giving of yourself and nobody needs to know. But just keep doing it. Another one is to give stuff away. Anybody got a closet or a drawer or a garage that is full of stuff? Well, this is where sometimes stuff can clog up our lives. And it can stop the flow of new things coming because it blocks energy. And so giving is also a powerful way of clearing. So your assignment is to clear out a drawer, to clear out a closet, to clear out a garage or cupboard, anyone you want to, before next class. And I want to hear how much fun it was. Because I guarantee you, my mom made us every year, before New Year's, we had to get rid of old clothes, we had to get rid of stuff, and we had to start the year off with, fresh without having stuff that was going to clog up the house. I mean, every 6 to 9 months, I do a thing in my house where I just clear out a closet or clear out a drawer. It's been ingrained in me. In fact, my closet is begging for a purging and a releasing right now. Is it amazing? Does clothes just multiply on their own? Because, you know, it's like I just gave away 10 T-shirts. I gave away like 6. How come I got 20 more now? And so it is amazing how stuff, but releasing it. It is amazing. When I clean out a closet or a drawer, I feel lighter and more organized. Even though the drawer is closed, I know it's organized. I feel lighter. I feel brighter. But the thing is, in terms of consciousness, we clear out energy to open up a space. And the space is opened up for ideas, for love, for joy, for creativity. It's when you open up space, the space could be filled with all sorts of great good. You know, it isn't going to be more stuff for the drawer. It actually just opens a space for the flow of more good and abundance. So clean something out. Release. You might have an exercise equipment. And you think, oh, one day I'm going to use that. If you haven't used it in a year, give it to somebody else. And I'm not just saying get rid of your junk. Yes, there'll be some junk you want to throw away. But give good things that you aren't using and bless someone else's life with it. I renovated my kitchen and my living room, and I loved giving furniture away that was really good furniture, but I knew someone else could use it, and it was way better than selling it or anything. I felt so much joy giving it to someone. And I just gave some tickets away. My class, I'm a huge basketball fan, and the Suns, LeBron James and the Suns are playing on a Tuesday in 6 weeks. And I was thinking, how can I bail on the prosperity class? But I'm thinking, they are my peeps. I can't do that. So my assistant and I, we meet every Monday and to go over the week and so on. And I said, how do you think I could do that? I could pre-record myself and blah, 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 blah. And she said, oh, LeBron James. I love LeBron James. And instantly I said, they're yours. And it just gave me joy to see how much joy she had and then to contribute to her joy. And it made me feel good. There is something good about giving, and giving things when they're good and blessing someone else's life who you know who will appreciate it and love it is just a thing that makes you feel great. Giving makes you feel great. The next one, and Donna gave a great example of it, is give to a stranger. Give to someone that will never know it was you. A few years back, my friend Daniel Namond, you know the singer Daniel? Danny and I were at Chili's. And we were just about to go, and someone came and brought a chocolate shake with sprinkles and said, someone wanted you to have that, and they didn't want you to know who it was. They wanted to give it to you anonymously. Well, I felt so much love. A chocolate shake with sprinkles for me? I mean, here is this $4 or whatever, $5, whatever that thing costs, and it made my day. I still go look back and think, wow. And it probably feels more special than I don't know who it was because someone took time to do something good. I mean, it is amazing. So what I did was a couple of weeks later, there used to be a Thai restaurant that I loved, and my favorite waiter, his name was Rex. So what I did was I put some money in an envelope, wrote a little note, I really appreciate you very much. I called the manager. I said, can you come outside? I'm outside. Can you come outside and can you just give that to Rex? And so there's something great about doing someone for someone anonymously. And even thinking of Rex opening that envelope makes me feel joy of him not knowing who it was. So do something kind for a stranger. And so again, God loves a cheerful giver. That the more you become a giver to life in all of these various forms, and there are even more than what I suggested, practice these and you will see your life. Commit to these and you will see amazing changes. Why? Because you're activating energy. You're moving it. So it's a law of giving and receiving. And so how many people have a harder time receiving than giving? You know, it is amazing that we say we want to win the lottery and we want all these big things of a grand life, yet we have a hard time receiving simple little acts of kindness and generosity. Anybody ever gave you a gift or flowers or something and the first thing you said was, oh, you shouldn't have. Or if it's really expensive, oh, I can't accept that. We say we want to have abundance and look at that. The first thing is, you shouldn't have, I can't accept that. Oh, that's too much. You really shouldn't have done that. You don't have to do that. We have a million excuses of how to not receive. We're literally blocking good that's trying to come to us. Literally blocking it. Even a compliment. Oh, your hair looks so good. Oh, this, I just put it together or whatever. You know, this old dress, oh, it's so ugly. Then we start insulting ourselves. We not only have a hard time receiving the compliment, then we start putting ourselves down. And we say we want all this prosperity, yet in simple little ways, we have a hard time receiving a helping hand, a gift, a compliment. I mean, all kinds of things. It's amazing. And so we need to look at our lives and say, where am I having a hard time being a good receiver? Where am I blocking the flow of good by not accepting things? By not allowing things to come to us in all of the various forms? And so I want you to write down three areas that you have a hard time being a good receiver. I mean, is it compliments? Is it gifts? Is it, what are the ways that you have a tough time receiving? And it isn't just from other people. Like, you ever like get a gift for someone, like theater tickets, and you get them orchestra seats? And then, you know, another time you think, oh, I would like to go, and you get yourself some far back balcony cheap seats for yourself. Sometimes we don't get ourselves as good a gift for ourselves as we get for other people. And we got to look at that. How generous are you being to you? How kind are you being to you? How much are you able to receive even good from yourself? And it sounds crazy, but sometimes we got to have little breakthroughs to say, I'm worthy of something big and great. That sometimes we can afford things and still wouldn't give them to ourselves. And, you know, it's not about being irresponsible or, you know, going, but sometimes even within the context of our budget, sometimes we don't treat ourselves to things that we really want, that we'd really like. And so where are you having a hard time being a good receiver? And the other thing about it is, about receiving, is that when you have a hard, when you allow yourself to not only does it block the good for you, you deny the other person how good it feels to give. Because when you give to someone and the first thing they tell you, you shouldn't have, no, I can't receive it, kind of stunts and diminishes the joy you have instead of had they just been happy and, thanks, I really love this. Assuming you really loved it. But you know what I'm saying? We're denying someone else the joy of being a cheerful giver when we are not a willing or grateful or open receiver. When you openly thank someone and sincerely be a good receiver, you actually help them be a good giver. Does that make sense? It is in the same way, you know, when you give someone and it blesses them and it blesses you, when you receive as well, you actually bless the giver as well. So what we need to do is the next time someone says, boy, you look so beautiful today, man. You look so handsome. You look so pretty, whatever it is. It's thank you. I appreciate that. Or thank you. I accept that. Or thank you. That means a lot to me. And then stop. Don't explain about your haircut or your outfit or your anything. Just say thank you. And so what ways are you willing to be a better receiver from others, from yourself, and from the universe? Can you accept greatness? Can you accept, you know, levels of accolades? And can you accept greater responsibility? Can you accept the mantle of leadership? Can you accept the mantle of being a great parent, a great citizen, a great whatever it is that you want to be? How much are you willing to accept from others? How much are you willing to accept from yourself? And how much are you willing to accept from life? To allow life to bless you, to allow life to support you, to allow life to prosper you in amazing ways. See, we live in an abundant universe, but the only thing that stops the flow of abundance, and we'll have a whole class on this, is how much you're willing to receive. How much love can you receive? How much success can you accept? How much greatness? We'll do a whole class week 8. It is about worthiness, and do you feel worthy of that level of happiness, that level of fulfillment in your relationship or career or financial abundance or whatever it is? Or even that closeness with God, of a deeper sense of wholeness and connection with the divine. Do you feel worthy is the same as seeing how good a receiver are you?